To me, that was an amazing parasha because it just gives us so much on how we can be blessed by Yah, and it finishes by showing how much he loves us. So let us pray before I start my message. Abba Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah today. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I give you the glory for every word that you've given me. In Yeshua's name, amen. So my message is on the years of Sabbath and Jubilee. And I'm taking it out of Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 25, and it's based mainly on Leviticus, chapter 25. So if we go to the first scripture, please. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall observe the Sabbath to Yehovah. 6 years you sow your field, 6 years you prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to Yehovah. Do not sow your field and do not prune your vineyard. Do not reap what grows of its own of your harvest, and do not gather your grapes of your unpruned vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be to you for food, for you and your servant, and for your female servant and your hired servant, and for the stranger who sojourns with you, and for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land. All its crops are of food." Now, we're all familiar with the double portion scriptures and how the double portion of man or manna in the wilderness was when twice as much man fell on the sixth day than on the former 5 days, because Israel was not allowed to work and gather man on the seventh or the Sabbath day, as it was a day of rest, which had to be observed, and which we observe to this very day. This was and is the first double portion revelation that must come to Yehovah's people. The fact that we are here today means that we observe that double portion. Honey, it's on. No, it's not in there, honey. Just excuse me. It's on the outside edge. Clicked. Sorry, please excuse. Gotta find where I was. So the man is also symbolic of Yeshua's flesh. That was the bread of life when it was broken in death. We all know Yeshua died, and that we died with him. And that is also a double portion revelation. Unless we get the revelation of us dying with Yeshua, then we don't get the double portion. Two died on the stake, Yeshua and you. Two are risen and seated on the throne of glory, you and Yeshua. And we have to claim that glory. We have to, if we can get that double portion revelation, then we can claim so much through our walk, and no weapon formed against us can ever prosper. In chapter 25 of Vayikra, it speaks about Sabbath years beyond just the Sabbath days. Not only was there a day of rest, but there was also a year of rest. But this was a different kind of rest. It was not for people to cease working, but it was for the land to cease working and the land to be given time to replenish its nutrients so that it could keep providing nourishment for the food that was to be grown in it. In the beginning, in Gan Eden, Yehovah planted the garden. It was he who sowed the fields. We go to slide 4, please, in Bereshit chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. It says, and Yehovah Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Yehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four river heads. The Kedavah Hash.
We just need to reset the stream.
Sorry, what's happened?
Yeah, we just need to reset the stream.
It's frozen.
Oh. I'll read from Bereshit 2:8-10 again. And Yehovah Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Yehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four river heads. The Kedavah HaShelekim mentions that there are three parts of gaining food. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I, which is Sha'ul speaking, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim was giving growth. The three parts are the plant, the water, and the giving of the increase. Yehovah did all three in Gan Eden. Yehovah planted the garden. He sent a river out of Eden to water it. And Yehovah gave the increase for Adam and Hava to eat from it. But Adam did none of these things. He didn't do one thing. He just ate. He just enjoyed the increase. He enjoyed the fruit of Yehovah's work until he took of the tree of the fruit of the tree of knowledge from his wife Hava. In Bereshit 3 verses 17 to 19, it says, and to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, do not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you are to eat of it all the days of your life. And the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and for dust you are, and dust you will return. So from then on, Adam or man would have to plant and water due to a curse. Work is the result of a curse. In slide 6, Vayikra 25, verses 19 to 22, we keep going down the chapter. And the land shall yield its fruit, and you shall eat to satisfaction, and shall dwell there in safety. And since you might say, what do we eat in the seventh year, since we do not sow nor gather in our crops, therefore I have commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth crops for 3 years. And you shall sow in the eighth year, and eat of the old crop until the ninth year. Eat of the old crop until the crop comes in. And in the next slide in Malachim Beit, it says in 2 Kings 19:29, and this is the sign for you. The year you eat what grows of itself, the second year what springs from that, and the third year, and in the third year sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Some people might get worried about not sowing nor pruning in the seventh year. But Yehovah promised that he would bless the sixth year to such a degree that he would produce crops for 3 full years. The sixth, seventh, and 8 years would have food from the sixth year. The sixth year was so blessed that it was though the curse was lifted from the earth, that was put on Garnet End due to sin. To me, this shows a restoration to the state of the world in the time of Garnet End, or the Garden of Eden, before man sinned. It is synonymous with a return to the original conditions of things. Like a double portion of man on the sixth day to help them enter the Sabbath rest, day and rest, there was and is today a double portion from the sixth year. We read 3 years because crops have to be planted, then months go by before the harvest of the same year that the crops are planted. So the months before the harvest of the eighth year has to be food from the sixth year, as well as the seventh year had to be food from the sixth year. So do you all understand what I'm saying? It's actually a double portion because the harvest was in the fall and gave food for a second half of the sixth year. So that's half a year in the sixth year. Then you've got the full seventh, where no planting, no reaping is done. And then you've got the first half of the eighth year, where you've planted, and then in the second half is when you reap. So you've got half a year of when you've, after you've reaped, you've got a full year of no planting and no reaping, and then you've got a half year where you plant but don't reap. So it's actually, can be classed as 3 years, but it's actually 2 whole years. It's actually a double portion, and this was in the fall and gave food for the second half. So we need to understand this is stressing a double portion as well, because it adds to your understanding of the double portion revelation. When we really see that we arose with Yeshua and are seated with Yeshua in heavenly places, we not only enter a rest and cease from our worries and our labours, but we also return to the status of Adam and Hava before the fall in Garnet End and before his sin. So that leaves us as being kings and priests in Yehovah's kingdom in heaven. Notice that this is also an issue about worry. We often worry about things we needn't worry about. Yehovah doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to trust in him. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, verses 20 to 22, it says, "And since you might say, what do we eat on the seventh year? And since we do not sow nor gather our crops, therefore I have commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth crop for its 3 years. You shall sow in the eighth year and eat of the old crops until the ninth year. Eat of the old until the crop comes in." Yah is trying to let us know we don't have to worry because we haven't planted. We've got to just trust him. Trust him for our double portion. So people ask, what can they do in times of trouble? When people trouble them and anything else that usually makes them worry? The answer is simple. We trust Yehovah. It really does not matter what mankind may do to us. Until you can really trust Yehovah and stop worrying over these things, even little things that make you worry all the time, you have never come to the double portion revelation. You really do not believe that you're seated with Yeshua HaMashiach on the throne over all powers and principalities that may come against you. You are letting the powers in this world affect you too much. They may make you worry, but if you really believe you're seated with Yeshua HaMashiach and that you are over them, they have no power over you. So you no need to worry. Excuse me. You no longer need to worry about them. Worry can tempt us when we face a situation that usually upsets us. But we must remind ourselves of what Yehovah's word says. And that's the most important thing. Go to his word. Let him fill you again. Let him strengthen you. In Colossians 3, 1 to 4, it says, "If then you were raised with the Messiah, seek matters which are above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim. Mind that about the matters above, not those on the earth. For you have died and your life has been hidden with the Messiah in Elohim. When the Messiah, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with him in his esteem or glory." So if you really believe you have power over them, then you walk on into them and face them in confidence that the power is on you to overcome whatever it is you have with that person. We also get defeated before we even face these situations, because then instead of trusting the word, what the word says about our power, we do not even get the chance to use that power, since we refuse to confront them out of fear. Worrying is refusing to face the situation in calmness so that you never get upset nor defeated. It's like someone who always caused you troubles. Instead of worrying you'll get upset again due to the past, you confidently confront them, since you believe you have power to defeat that chance to get upset. It doesn't matter what they say or do, you have power not to get upset. And until you get over worrying, then that makes you not even try, and you will never actually face the situation in confidence. Because worry destroys confidence. And if you do not have confidence, you've never learned anything from the word that says you have power over everything in life. We need to stop concentrating upon what people do is wrong. When you do that, you will throw out the responsibility off yourself that says you need to get to that place where they do not defeat you and overpower you, and put it on them. If you do that, it will cause you never to get the victory over anything yourself, and to concentrate upon what others should be doing. But when we do not deal with ourselves, so that the victory we have over everything that could ever happen, we are doing nothing about being defeated all the time. People who are only concerned with how wrong others are will always get upset by other people, because they're never looking at it from the proper perspective. A proper perspective is that we cannot change other people. I learned over 50 years ago, when I was married to an alcoholic physical abuser, I learned what was called the serenity prayer. And it says, Yah, give me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change. I cannot change other people. I couldn't change him. I never would. I could tell him I didn't like his friend alcohol or nicotine, because he used to smoke 4 cartons of cigarettes a week and burn all my furniture. Smoke in bed. I was waiting for the house to go on fire. I couldn't change that, but I could change my attitude. Give me the courage to change the things I can. I can change me. I can change my attitude. I can change my reactions. I can change reacting to that person. And the wisdom to know the difference. It's amazing what we learn through the school of hard knocks. But it's the school of hard knocks that gives us the ability to overcome all things by trusting in Yehovah and his word and not in man. Every person is responsible for changing themselves, which means that they can take hold of themselves and Yehovah. We have to stop asking why people are so wrong and start asking, why do we let them bother us? When you do that, then you have the victory. Whether they're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Otherwise, you blame your weaknesses on someone else, when the scriptures say you are not going to be judged for your weaknesses. That's what the scripture says. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. And in Luke 6:37, and do not judge, and you shall not be judged at all. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned at all. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You are to be judged for your weaknesses, not by another person's. We have to claim victory in our own life so that others can never upset us. Once we come to terms that we are seated with Yeshua HaMashiach in heavenly places, no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Losing everything that Adam had before sin is where we are, where we are when we are born in this world. And Yehovah restored it all to us through Yeshua's crucifixion on the stake. But Yehovah needs our faith to help us enjoy all that the stake has bought us. People need to realize that they have everything paid for them in victory by the stake. But unless they change their fearful and doubtful ways of thinking, they will never enjoy them. We don't automatically enjoy Yehovah's blessings. We have enemies to fight in this land, and we have it through this COVID, through whatever they're wanting to put on us, through socialism they're trying to put onto us. We have to overcome lies, and we have to overcome lying spirits. And I'm sure you've all suffered from them. But when you overcome them, you will enjoy all of the blessings. And this brings me to redemption. Redemption is something many are unfamiliar with. They've heard of it, but they don't know how to live it. So I want to help you learn how to live in your redemption today. In Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 to 28, it says, "And the land is not to be sold beyond reclaim, for the land is mine. For you are sojourners and settlers with me. And provide for a redemption for the land, in all the land of your possession. When your brother becomes poor, and he has sold some of his possession, and his redeemer, a close relative, comes to redeem it, then he shall redeem what his brother sold. But the man has no one to redeem it, he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale and return the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he shall return to his possession. And if his hand has not found enough to give back to him, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, or the year of Yovel. And it shall be released in the Yovel, and he shall return to his possession." Yehovah meant for Israel to have the land of Canaan. And anyone who owned any land in it was always meant to have it. There is a lesson here for victory for us. When we're spiritually poor in a negative way, that is, we had victory but we lost it, something defeated us and we lost dominion, we lost our power, especially over the evil one, Yehovah made a way for us to always have what he gave us in salvation, like the land was always for Israel that he gave to them. Redemption means you could redeem back your land by paying a ransom for it. It returns to the former owner when it's redeemed. But if you could not pay for it and no family members could do it, watch what Yehovah puts in place. There is only one day of Sabbath. There is only one year of Sabbath. But there is also a Sabbath of Sabbaths. A Sabbath of Sabbaths is seven Sabbaths. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25:8, it says, "And you shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years. And the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. And going into 25, 9 and 10. And you shall sound a ram's horn to pass through on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement, causing a ram's horn to pass through all the land. And it shall set the 50th year apart and proclaim release throughout the land and all its inhabitants. It is a yovel for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you return to his clan. Now, that doesn't mean it starts on the 7th month, because it's only the 7th month. But you start sounding the ram's horn, and by the time you walk around all Israel, from the top to the bottom, east to the west, and all through the center, it takes that amount of time before you get to the first day of the next year at Pesach. Just before Pesach. That's when you start counting your next year. But they needed time to get around the sound of the ram's horn and warn everyone that at the beginning of the next year, it would be the Yovel. It would be the time of redemption. No point in telling everyone on one day because they wouldn't get the message. So in Vayikra, Leviticus 25, 34, 35 to 44. And when your brother became poor and his hand has failed with you, and you shall sustain him, and he shall live with you like a stranger or a sojourner, take no interest from him or profit, and you shall fear your Elohim, your brother shall live with you. Do not lend him your silver on interest. Do not lend him your food for profit. I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to give you the land of Canaan to be your Elohim. And when your brother who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, do not make him a servant or a slave, but as a hired servant, as a settler he is with you, and he serves you until the year of Yovel. And then he shall leave you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own clan, even return to the possessions of his fathers. For they are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Mitzrayim. They are not sold as slaves. Do not rule over him with harshness, but you shall fear your Elohim, your male and your female slaves whom you have from the nations. They are around you. From them you may buy male. From them you buy male and female slaves. So, Vayikra 25 teaches us that also a special year of Yovel occurred every 50 years. And that's actually twice in one century. The Yovel is actually is a Hebrew word for the anglicized Jubilee word. So, and it's been transliterated to Jubilee from the Hebrew word. Yovel was how the Hebrews described the blasting sound of the trumpet. The sound was the Yovel. Not anything else, the sound was the Yovel. And during the 50th year, everything returned to its original state. Lands and even Israelim, people that were sold as servants by Israelim in times of need, returned to their original owners. And we read the scripture earlier in the chapter that Yehovah said that the land would not be sold forever. It was never to be sold. It was always, the land of Canaan was always to belong to the Israelim, or the sons of Israel. Yehovah gave them the land of Canaan, and he would never let them lose it. It was his land, and they were more or less borders staying with him. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25:23, it says, "And the land is not to be sold beyond reclaim, for the land is mine. You are sojourners and settlers with me." So they could not sell it, since it was not really theirs to sell anyway, as they were only tenants. Yehovah made sure that they would not lose the land and the property by the security of the Yovel and redemption. Back at that time, when you were stuck with poverty for some reason, you had to sell your land And the buyer always understood that it would be given back by paying a redemptive price for it and redeeming it. Otherwise, you had to wait until a year of Yovel to have it returned to you free of charge once again. The same occurred when people who were sold into a time of servitude. But Yehovah would not allow a buyer of a person to think the person was their slave. Yehovah brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, and his people were not to be treated like slaves again. They would not be ruled over with rigor, as the Mitzrayim ruled over them with rigor. They would be regarded as hired servants, and they would return home in the year of Yovel. So whether it was sold servants or sold land, lost due to poverty, all were restored in the year of Yovel. And Yeshua picked up on this when he spoke of it in a spiritual sense at the very start of his ministry. And we read it today in our portion in Luke chapter 4, 14 to 21. And Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding country. And he was teaching in their congregations, being praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he has been brought up. And according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. And the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu was handed to him. And having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Yehovah is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring you good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away crushed ones with a release, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yehovah." And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The acceptable year of Yehovah. What did Yeshua mean by that? The acceptable year of Yehovah was always known as the year of Yovel. That was the statement Yeshua made in reference to the Jubilee. It was then that Yehovah's acceptable time for the acceptable year of Yehovah to come. And this statement of Yeshua's is saying the entire Messianic age is like one long year of Yovel that began when he came and started ministering here. The good news would be preached to the poor. It was the poor who were sold as servants, who were sold their lands in the days of following the Torah. But they are also those spiritually poor who are sold under sin. Adam sold us all out. The ultimate return to original ownership is getting back to the status Adam had before the fall in Gan Eden. His fall made us all sinners. As a result, we are the brokenhearted. We are the captives. We are blind before we know Yeshua to the truth, and we are bruised. When Yeshua was revealed in Luke, he began by reading about how his coming fulfilled the year of Yovel. People return to the state that Yehovah placed us in away back in Adam's time, when Yehovah placed Adam in the Garden of Eden with blessings and dominion and everlasting life. But we were sold. We were sold so that the entire Kedavah HaShalakim, or New Testament, is simply the proclamation that everything that mankind lost when he was under sin in the days of Adam is restored once again. We are like the man who owned, the law of the people of the lands in regard to the Yovel said the people and the land would be restored. Not just the land, the people. And therefore we have been restored. And Yehovah forgave us as though a year of Yovel occurred. We couldn't pay the price for our sins. It was too much. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash away our sins. And every time the good news is preached, the silver trumpet of Jubilee or Yovel sounds. It's calling each and every one of us, come back to Eden. In other words, get eternal life through faith that Adam could have got through the tree of life. Silver was also associated with redemption. Recall that it was the 30 pieces of silver that Yehuda was paid for Yeshua to be taken and crucified. And his crucifixion paid the price to redeem us. And what is interesting about the 50th in Hebrews is the Shavuot, the 50th day after Passover, is the Greek Pentecost or our Shavuot. And in 2 Kings and verse 1, and I've given it to you in three different forms, and this is the King James Version, the first one. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And in the scriptures it says, and when the day of the festival of weeks had come, they were with one mind and in one place. And the King James, the complete Jewish Bible says the festival of Shavuot arrived and the believers all gathered together in one place. There is a day of Shavuot, which will be in 2 weeks' time, which is 50 days after the Sabbath, following the Feast of First Fruits, the day Yeshua was resurrested. In Vayikra, Leviticus 23, verses 15 to 17, it says, and after the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count for yourselves 7 complete Sabbaths. Until the morrow of the 7th Sabbath, you count 50 days when you shall bring a new grain offering to Yehovah. Bring for your dwellings for a wave offering 2 loaves of bread of 2/10 of an ephah and of fine flour. They are baked with leaven, first fruits to Yehovah. That is the day of Shavuot. The year of Yovel is the 50th year. The day of Shavuot is the 50th day. Yehovah always does things according to his patterns. So with the year of Shavuot and the year and the 50th day of Shavuot. So I've shown you where Yeshua referred to the entire gospel age in the passage we read from the book of Luke of the year of Yehovah. True Shavuotal or Pentecostal experience is to return everything that Adam lost. That's the redemption of everything Adam lost. Pentecost was never meant to be a denomination. It's an experience. It's the experience that occurred in Acts chapter 2. Yehovah wants every person of every denomination to have the Ruach filled Shavuotal experience. And he wants you to have it as well. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38b to 39, it says, and you shall receive the gift of the set-apart spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as Yehovah our Elohim shall call. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, they were all filled with the set-apart spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. This was and always will be a weekly seventh day rest that occurs every 7 days. The seventh day of the week is the Sabbath, which means or the Shabbat, and they both mean seventh. The day of Shavuot was the 50th day and also falls on the first day of the Holy Week, as it is the day after the 49th day, giving us 2 Shabbatot in a row. For that reason, it's a special Shabbat. For that reason, it's a special Sabbath or a high holy day of no work, where every man was called in the time of the temple to the temple. This also applies to the 50th year. That is a Shavuotal or Pentecostal year. How many days between a Sabbath? Seven. How many years between the land of rest? Seven. How many sevens between the land of rest to the year of rest is 49. And the 50th year is the year of Yovel. The year of Yovel is also the first year of the next count. So although it's 50, it's also one. Do you understand that? The 50, it's like the eighth day is the first day. Okay? So in Vayikra, Leviticus 25 and verse 8, it says, "And you shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years, and the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be for you 49 years. Between each year of Yovel was seven Sabbaths of years. That would bring you to the 50th year of Yovel, the next year. The last Sabbath year before the 50th year was the 49th year. And that was 49 years since the last Jubilee. So every 7 years the land rested. That means the 49th year the land rested. And the 50th year the land rested. So it was once again a double portion, 2 years in a row. So the 50th year, as I said, is counted as the first year of the next 7 years. So let us look at what scriptures say about the Sabbath year. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, verses 4 and 5. "But in the seventh year the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to Yehovah. Do not sow your field and do not prune your vineyard. Do not reap what grows of its own harvest and do not gather the grapes of your unpruned vine, for it is a year of rest for the land." And in the Yovel year, in verse 25:11, "The 50th year is a Yovel to you. Do not sow nor reap what grows of its own, nor gather from the unpruned vine." So once again, it's a double portion, 2 years in a row. So the 49th year and the 50th year, they had a double portion of blessing of crops. It's a third case of Yah's double portion. A double portion of the double portion, or a Sabbath of Sabbaths, 2 years in a row of no sowing or reaping. The firstborn son received a double portion of land compared to all the others of a family, of a man's family. It was always the firstborn son, whether he was the last member of the family or whether he was the third member of the family to be born or whether he was the first member of the family. The first male received the double portion of an inheritance from the father. And the rest was divvied out to the rest of the family. So that was always the way. Elisha asked for a double portion of Eliyahu's anointing and power. And Eliyahu told him that if he would see him ascend into heaven, Elisha would saw it and the mantle fell on him to continue to carry out the work of Yehovah. Yehovah made provision through redemption and Yovel to ensure that the double portion returns. We can claim each and every one of those promises today. Yeshua's sacrificial death allows us to live forever in a Yovel year. We have been redeemed by his perfect blood. Now, I was going to play, honey, I might play that now, and I'll play it again when we give out the emblems. I've got a song for you that I want to play. There's nothing on the screen, but you may know it. It's a favourite of mine that I've had for since Adam was a little boy. So, but I'm not too sure whether you've heard it. Whenever you're ready.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed. And I know I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin. And I know that I am. All my sins are taken away. Praise the Lord. I am. By the blood of the Lamb, I am redeemed. And I know I am, yeah, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away, praise the Lord. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, and I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away.
Questions? Praise the Lord. It's nice to finish on a bright note, isn't it?